This is episode 206 on April 20th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
And joining us today is Dave Podner. How are you doing, man?
Doing great. How's everyone doing?
Doing pretty good. So let's start off and see how everybody's weeks have been. But Matt, we'll go ahead and start with you. How have you been?
Good. I've done a little bit more photography in the last week than I have in the last couple, which is good.
Nice.
Managed to get out just a couple of days ago, actually, and took a nice hike through this park. It's not too far from my house, and just kind of photographed, you know, all the plants that are popping up, and I don't know, just tried to do some springtime photography. Now I just have to get around to actually sharing the pictures.
Yes. Yeah, that's half the battle.
And then, of course, we had Easter, so you know, there was a lot of family-type photography going on there, some with the iPhone and some not with the iPhone.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't just limit yourselves. Well, you can, but we have some people that actually did that in our group. So, but when you have other tools, it's fun to use.
Yeah, definitely. I actually used on my Sony camera that I have, my NEX7. I put it into the sports mode. I like never use like those like different modes, you know.
Yeah.
Like the automatic type modes. But my in-laws got my son a bike for or I should say the Easter Bunny got it for him.
Yes.
For Easter. So after I put it together, you know, obviously he wanted to ride it. So he was riding up and down the sidewalk, and I thought, well, I'll just try this sports mode and see how that works, and hopefully I'll get a bunch of you know, sharp pictures of him. And I got to say, I don't know why I don't use these modes, because holy smokes, is it awesome. You know, it locked focus and it held focus on him as he was like riding towards me, and I just was blown away. And I've had this camera for coming up on 5 years now, and I've never once put it in that mode and tried it out. And I got just like probably 90% of the shots I took were keepers.
Yeah, it used to be, oh, if you use those modes, you're not a real photographer. You should be using manual, and you should be able to do this without anything, because that's how we used to do it in the old days.
Well, that is the mindset that I have, honestly, to be 100% honest. That is kind of the mindset, you know, after going to school for photography and learning on film and everything, it was all about getting it right in the camera and doing everything manual. And you were looked at as a, you know, someone that was pretty much an idiot if you were using like a automatic mode. But
yeah,
those modes are really helpful, especially if you're not if you just want to get the shot with like no fuss, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I thought, it's just pictures of my son riding a bike. So, you know, and it doesn't need to be raw pictures. You know, it could be JPEGs, and, you know, the camera's 24 megapixels. So there's going to be plenty of resolution regardless.
I don't know. You may be able to do a 4x6 with that.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe a 3x5.
Ooh. Well, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Dave, how you been?
I'm doing good. One thing, Matt, I can see the thought process behind not using the automatic. It'd be almost like, well, I went to school for all this effort and all this skill. I should use it.
Yeah.
You know, and I can definitely see. I'm doing pretty good, though, and it's everything's starting to bloom around here. which is nice for getting out and taking some photos at lunch.
Yeah.
You know, the one photo I posted, it was, I just happened around the corner and it was like two different shades of purples and it was a blue, one of the few times recently, blue sky. And that was, it was just nice to get out and not have brown around.
Yeah. How did, so, you have a, you have a run coming up. Do you ever take pictures when you're out on a run?
Not when I'm out on a run, honestly. Just because a lot of times I'm focused so much on the run, especially if it's a race.
Yeah.
And I see people who, I saw one guy's like, well, this is my first marathon, and halfway through they busted out their camera and they were doing a video through the middle of the race. And I'm thinking, how?
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine that the viewer would have any fun with it.
Well, I mean, I've seen pictures because they do have photographers a lot of times on the race course.
Yeah.
And of course, you can get a single shot for, I think it's $30 for like a 4x6 or something. Yeah, it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But at least the proofs, when I look at it, I'm thinking, I look like I'm dying out there. So now I do have, like I said, I have a race coming up this Saturday. And the finish line's actually at home plate at PNC Park.
Yeah.
So that's where, and this one I'm going to take kind of easy. So normally I run with my phone kind of in an armband.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking maybe taking a little, since it's, I might try to take it a little bit easier, not be overly concerned with the time. Just because of where the run's going. It's going by the football stadium here. Not going over a bridge, but real close to a couple of the many bridges we have here, and get some great views of downtown.
Nice.
So, you know, like during the middle, of course, their problem is trying to keep the camera somewhat still while I'm trying to run still.
Yeah. No, you almost have to stop to take a picture. And when you stop, you just throw your rhythm off, especially for long distances.
Yeah, this one's only a 3-mile run. It's okay. Only a 5K. So
that's
a short, that'll be a short little jog, luckily, versus in around 2.5 weeks, I have a half marathon coming up. Ooh. So yeah, that's when I'm...
You need a GoPro.
Want to make sure
on your forehead.
I've seen enough people do it during the race. Actually, have a GoPro, have a kind of like you would have a like a mind light.
Yeah.
With a head strap, where they're running with that.
I still don't think it'd be good. Good to watch.
Oh no! Well, no, but honestly, especially running the course for the marathon, you get some really great views of the city.
Yeah.
Just because of you're going over the bridges and some of the things where it's like, that is a great shot, but I don't want to stop here. Like you said, and just throw off the rhythm or have anything cramp up on me halfway through a race.
Well, I'll be interested to see your final picture, because I love ballparks, and I think it would be interesting to see, you know, what it's going to look like other than a ball game. So
cool. I'm hoping the weather holds out too.
Oh, that's true.
As Matt can tell you, that we've been having rolling thunderstorms over the last couple of days in the general area here.
Yeah, we're in the mid-80s over here, and I think we're expecting rain on Sunday, but then it's supposed to clear out and look pretty nice. But, well, cool. Yeah, I had, speaking of Easter, my daughter did a dance at church, and so, of course, I had to get the video so I could send it off to family and everything. And I didn't bring a tripod this time. I decided I was going to handhold it. And it worked out great. But, you know, I noticed that my hands were starting to shake towards the last of it. And I didn't notice it until I actually saw the video, and I had that little dot that you get when you have a lens on top, because I actually used the fisheye lens to do the video. And it, the way the video was it cropped it enough that it did not look like a fisheye. It actually had a much wider range to be able to capture, and it worked great. It looked good. The only thing I noticed was that little dot of light, and you can see it kind of shaking with with my hand. But with the image stabilization that the iPhone has, it actually it looked like it held out pretty good. So I've done wide angle before and a fisheye, and I think one of the previous versions of iPhone with the fisheye, it really distorted and messed with the image stabilization, and it didn't turn out very well. But I was really pleased with how it turned out this time. So
that's a pretty good idea. I never thought to try I've shot plenty of video with a wide angle lens on the phone, but never thought about how the cropping in video would likely counteract that like fisheye effect.
It did. It worked out really well. And I did a practice run when they did their little practice beforehand, because I didn't want to do it and then try to switch it out to either the wide angle or just the regular when it was recording, and I saw that, it wasn't going to turn out. It actually turned out during the practice, and so I was really happy. And I have my stylus lens, and so I have that on there and handheld it, and it turned out pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to divert from our sort of class of photography, and we are going to move into some news.
News team, assemble!
All right. Today, we're going to talk about rumors. We haven't done rumors in a while, so I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to kind of delve in and see what's out there in the internet world. And I ran across a Mac Rumors article that was talking about they gave it the name the iPhone 8. It was, I typically... I typically am skeptical of rumors, but after the last version came out, the iPhone 7 with the dual camera and all that, I was like, okay, they seem to have some credibility. So now I kind of look at it, and I'm going to take it for face value, even though I have that skepticism in my head. But, the one thing that I always look for in the rumors is what's going to happen with the camera. So I thought, we can go ahead and take a look and see what we have. So I'm just going to read real quick. It says, at a glance, Apple has a major iPhone redesign planned for 2017 with a glass body and edge-to-edge OLED display that includes an integrated Touch ID fingerprint sensor, a front-facing and front-facing camera. The new iPhone may be sold alongside upgrade, but the standard 5.7 and the 5.5-inch phones. And one of the things they have is a kind of a list of things that they're going to talk about in the article. And one thing that kind of caught my eye that may be true is says no home button. I'm like, what? Always have a home button. But I think they're trying to move to less mechanical fail points when it comes to these phones. And I think the iPhone 7, and the 7 Plus don't actually have a mechanical home button, because when the phone is off, you can't feel that depression and the click. But when it's on, you can feel it. And I think that was their gateway into trying to take it away. But we're not here to talk about home buttons. Let's talk about some of the features. So, Dave, you and I were talking earlier, and so I thought I'd start with you. Let's talk about the display real quick. What are your thoughts on the OLED display?
Well, when I look at the OLED displays that are on the Samsung, because the rumors also say Samsung is really the only one who can make the OLED displays even close to the volume Apple needs. And looking at the Samsung display, the displays that actually are turned on in the stores,
yeah,
those things are just gorgeous.
Hmm.
The OLEDs. I mean, they're, in my mind, they're just mind blowing. And I look at my phone and look at it and think, I know it's a normal thing they do with TVs, where the TVs, yes, always blow out the colors and blow up, you know,
yeah,
mess up the contrast, where people are like, well, that's not what the true color looks like. But everyone goes, amazing. And yeah, they're just, I mean, it may not be true to the actual color. And when you take the photo, you'll look at it and think, boy, that's really blown out and everything's overdriven color wise.
Yeah.
But it is just eye catching.
Yeah.
It is just eye catching.
OLED stands for organic.
Light emitting diode.
Yep. So LED, it's an organic LED, mm-hmm, and it's supposed to help reduce the amount of power that you're using, and also help with the blacks and making things look a little bit more, I guess, natural or crisp, better looking. So, mm-hmm, one of the things that they mentioned here was, they were talking about a curved screen, and I don't know if I'm a fan of a curved screen, because I think it's problematic, because I think I'll fat finger a lot of stuff on the edges. What are your thoughts, Dave?
I don't think it's going to be as curved, let's say, as when a couple years ago when the Samsung had the Edge,
uh-huh,
where they actually had a little bit of the screen actually wrapping around the side.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be, if you look at like how the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus is now, how the screen on the edge, it kind of bevels more than curves into the side.
Yeah.
So I could see, because I saw there are rumors where they're calling it a kind of, not a 2D display, but a 2.5D display.
Yeah.
So it's not curved, like a watch face would be, but it basically feels, it kind of goes into the sides more, which I could sort of see that. And just also because of the rumor saying how they're going to get rid of a lot of the bezels.
Uh-huh.
How it's, and that to me is going to be the toughest thing, yeah, in terms of not having somewhere to touch that's not screen.
Yeah. Matt, what are your thoughts on the display and the screen? You're due for an upgrade, right?
Yeah. When this phone comes out, that I will probably try to get my hands on one. Yeah, I don't know. I've been hearing about, you know, a curved screen for, you know, however many years now. And, you know, I know that Samsung Edge is, I guess, technically a curved screen. But, you know, I don't know. To me, that's the way it's implemented is gimmicky. And I don't personally see like any benefit or need to having a curved screen.
Yeah.
So like, to me, the whole thing just seems to be like a proof of concept, you know? And I think it would lay the groundwork for like some other form factor or technology in the future, but like right now I don't feel like it serves any purpose whatsoever. As far as like the OLED goes, I will definitely probably get the phone that has the OLED screen. Just because, you know, I've seen TVs with them and computer monitors and stuff, and it does just look outstanding, you know. And being that I primarily consume photos on my phone, you know, with Instagram and Facebook and everything, you know, I want to look at things, whether it's my own work or other people's work. I just want to see things looking the best that they could look. So yeah, I think having an OLED screen would be a real treat.
Yeah. So are you going to be like, would you choose the Plus or the regular?
Yeah, definitely the Plus. Yeah. I mean, the rumors right now are kind of that the OLED is going to be like the super premium feature, so it would only be on the larger size.
Sure.
Phone, which is, you know, I love my 6S Plus so much. I'm like so happy that I got that size phone. I really can't see myself going down in size.
You don't want an SE? Come on, man.
No, you know, like, you know, they're talking about these edge to edge displays. And so basically, like, let's just say, like, right now, like the iPhone, 7, right? If it had an edge-to-edge display, then the actual display size would be pretty much similar to the 7 Plus.
Okay.
But I don't want my device to be smaller. I want more screen. So like I'm happy with the size of like my 6S Plus, but if the screen went to the edges and it suddenly became like a 5.8 inch display or whatever, that would be just epic. Like that would just that would just tickle me to death. I would love that.
Yeah. All right. So with the display, you know, they're talking OLED, they're talking also about a glass body. And you know, as far as I can tell, even if I had the curved screen and the glass body, I'd probably most likely put my phone in a case. So I don't think I would fat finger it as much as if I was just holding it naked. The phone naked, not me. But sorry. I think this is going to be good. I like it when they upgrade and create better features, because eventually what happens with the Plus model will trickle down into the regular or the SE type models. So I'm looking forward to that. All right. Let's get into some camera stuff. Now, the front-facing camera is going to have some possible changes, and it looks like they're going to probably try to do a dual-lens front camera system for the 8 Plus. So the rumor suggests a front-facing camera for the 8 will have a revolutionary system consisting of three modules that enable 3D sensing capabilities powered by PrimeSense technology. It'll also include infrared transmitting module and receiving module and a traditional camera. Ah, I don't know. Dave, what are your thoughts on this?
The first thing is putting it under the display.
Yeah.
Makes me a little nervous. Just because the front camera not as, well, I shouldn't say not as important, but if they can bring the front camera up to, you know, not necessarily megapixels, but put it in parity with the rear camera, or even the current 7 rear camera, and put that quality into the front, especially with lower light. That would be good, but you know, in terms of the 3D sensing, I know Tim Cook said a couple times how AR is so important, and they've actually, when they had their little round table about the Mac Pro, said one of the problems is it's not powerful enough for, you know, AR and VR processing.
Okay.
So unless they're, and I know right now with the, admittedly not high end, but with the Snapchats and the Instagram and with the Facebook, a lot of the big thing is the front facing camera and putting masks on people pretty much.
Sure.
So doing something where the infrared to be used for 3D modeling of the face, that's a little bit better.
Yeah.
I can see where it just may be gimmicky, but
it's for the kids. Definitely
going to be gimmicky. Oh, sorry. It's going to be gimmicky, but I could see that a little bit more, maybe not, maybe this would be like step one where, you know, the Touch ID came out first. If I'm trying to remember correctly, I thought the Touch ID came out first, and then Apple Pay came out the next year. So they need to get the Touch ID right before they introduced Apple Pay.
Yeah.
So this may be like the introduction for 3D before they bring it out next year or year after, where it's, okay, well, we have a 3D front-facing camera, so now you can do this, you know, with 3D modeling and for whatever reason.
Sure.
For the front facing.
Yeah, and having the dual cameras, I think they're really wanting people to use the shallow depth. Yeah, the portrait mode, the shallow depth of field, being able to utilize that for the front, because most people, when they take a picture of themselves, you know, they're looking at themselves while they take it. Unless you're really good with just kind of, you know, holding it, not looking, sometimes you have to, get good with it. But, doing being able to use the portrait mode, I think is going to increase the popularity of the front facing camera. Not that it wasn't unpopular before, because obviously people use it. But I guess it would be an added feature for it. What are your thoughts, Matt, on that?
just on the cameras?
Just the front facing camera having a dual camera system. Are you gonna take more selfies of yourself?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, especially if Joe or your wife was in the picture, but.
Well, if they did have that feature, then I would want it to have I would want the dual lens to be, you know, there to enable portrait mode. But what I would also like to see is one of the lenses be wider than the current lens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be cool. It's not anything that I'm like particularly excited about. I don't take a lot of selfies, but, if I was going to take more selfies, and if Apple came to me and said, what would you like to see here? That's what I would like.
Yeah.
Well, could we also see maybe a better front-facing camera for Skype / FaceTime improvements? Oh, sure.
Well, I mean,
what I use it more for anything else is like, you know, talking to my dad, who instead of calling, we use FaceTime.
Yeah. What is the current megapixel camera, front-facing camera? It's not 8. Is it 5?
Yeah, I think it's 5.
Okay.
Just double checking, but that sounds...
I can see them upgrading the front camera to say an 8 megapixel or even a 12. Excuse me, hold on. Nope. But you know, I don't see why that, you know, that wouldn't happen, especially with the much larger Plus model, because there's more real estate, there's more room to be able to pack a bigger camera in there.
Okay, well, according to Apple's website, for the iPhone 7, the front facing is a 7 megapixel.
Oh, okay.
So it could do a 1080 HD that's video
right.
recording.
Yes, that's right. So, I mean, they're basically, you know, an 8, maybe a 12 megapixel front facing camera, it wouldn't be that bad. But, you know, I guess for FaceTime and for Skype, we have that capability for HD. Whether or not those programs will utilize it, we don't know. But, all right. Any last thoughts for the front facing camera?
No.
I mean, unless somehow Apple, and I know there's programs you can do this where they could do a picture-in-picture mode automatically.
Yeah.
Where you're getting the, you know, both shots, or instead, or a way you could do, because I could see that for vacation, where you're taking a picture of whatever monument or building you're out in front of. But you're taking it with the back picture, and then it's taking a selfie at the same time.
Yeah.
So I could see where, you know, if they built that in terms of using the front and back.
Okay.
You know, I could see that as one of the a great thing they can show on stage, saying, "Oh, and you're taking a picture of your thing, and you can have separated or combined at the same time."
Yeah.
Your photo, so you can show everyone, everyone can see your reaction to it, type thing.
Get almost a 360 view.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I think that would be fun. All right. Let's get into the rear camera, because that's typically where we like to hang out. Now, they said that the 4.7, which would be the iPhone 8, if it's called that, would still have a single camera, and the 5.5-inch model, the Plus, would have the dual camera. And it's pretty much, I guess, a high-end feature. One of the things that caught my eye in this article is the rumor that instead of having a horizontal dual camera on the back, it'd be a vertical, meaning if you were to hold your camera, your phone in portrait mode, the dual cameras would be stacked on top of each other instead of side by side, I believe the rendering of the rumor shows the flash being in between both the cameras. I don't know if I like that, especially if you're gonna, you know, I don't know. But what are your thoughts on the vertical camera system versus the horizontal? Let's start with you, Dave.
Okay. I honestly, because they're not using it for 3D, or, you know, I'm assuming they're going to use it, and they probably shouldn't, but I'm assuming they're going to use it similar, where it's going to be a wide and I hate to say zoom lens, but, you know, to have the two different levels of zoom.
Yeah.
If it's a matter like that, it really doesn't matter in my mind if you're doing vertical or horizontal. Because it's just a matter, I mean, the difference in terms of the swinging around, I mean, I can't, the flash in the middle is the one thing that's a little on the different side, and that kind of makes a little more sense.
Sure.
Because right now you have your flash being far off versus one lens versus there, instead of the flash being the same distance from both lenses.
Yeah.
But
The only thing I could say to that is if it's real close, that could introduce red eye. But I mean, we have software that can get rid of red eye.
Yeah, and the one sketch here they're showing of the what they're calling iPhone Edition or iPhone 8, they're still showing a bump there, but unless it, especially if it's going to a glass back,
yeah,
I have a wonderful iPhone 4S still, which is a beautiful shattered pattern on the back of it. So if they're going to go with the glass back, it's going to be a case unless it's that amazingly gorgeous of a, you know, a back and a front design. That's one of those, like, a lot of people don't want to put the jet black in a case because it's so pretty.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Matt?
I mean, whether the dual cameras are vertical or horizontal, I don't really care unless the position of them is essential for some particular new feature, you know, maybe the ability to do 3D photography or something, if that's going to be some sort of thing in the future. I don't really know.
Yeah. What would your thoughts really be at this point? Okay. My biggest thing is whenever they change or add cameras to the back, what is that going to do for, say, your accessory lenses?
Well, at the moment, nothing, because even right now, if I were to upgrade to like a 7 Plus, I would have to change everything anyway.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, my actual lenses, that's not really going to matter, but I would have to get, you know, new cases or like a new like moment case or whatever to continue using my moment lenses.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to have to get new stuff anyway.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to, you know, get to a point where accessory lenses would no longer be viable.
I don't know. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, with as popular as the iPhone is as a camera, I would like, and this isn't going to happen because it's not like serious photographers are like the dominant customer of the iPhone.
Sure.
But I would love it if instead of, you know, implementing these kind of gimmicky things into, you know, the camera system, like portrait mode, which is cool, but it's still gimmicky. Or, you know, possibly in the future, like 3D photography effects. I would like it if they kind of went back to like trying to make the iPhone like more, how do I say this? Like camera, like,
sure.
You know, maybe focus on, you know, better low light performance. I know there's a lot of like photographers out there that do like other podcasts and stuff that kind of hate when people talk about that. But, you know, I would love to be able to take pictures like in, you know, dusk or dawn situations with the iPhone and have them not be just a mess of noise.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to see improvements there with the way the iPhone can process those pictures at higher ISOs and make the pictures look cleaner. That's the kind of stuff that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of wish that it would go more along that line, I guess. Like, I think the resolution right now for a phone is good where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, let's maybe focus on like improving the actual lenses, you know, so that we can have maybe some, you know, sharper photos. And because I think the iPhone really shines in like really good light. But yes, once you get into those tougher situations where maybe it's just not as bright,
that's where your skills come in. No, I'm just kidding.
That's where what comes in?
Your skills.
Yes and no. I mean, I think the iPhone still has a lot of limitations, and I think, sure, you know, once you start shooting in conditions that are dimmer, the image quality goes down rapidly.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I would want to see improvements made. That would be just more interesting to me than you know, any of these other things that they're currently doing with the camera system.
Sure.
Now, one thing with that is if they're with the rumors with the iPhone 8 basically being the same size as the 7 in terms of the actual physical camera, but the screen being large, basically as large as a 7S or a 7 Plus, but putting the two cameras in there, in front and back, would they have to make it thicker? Because I'm thinking you're basically trying to shove more cameras, more sensors, more processing without losing battery life with a big screen. And we all know how Apple hates going thicker. And yeah, if they go thinner, isn't that one of the limitations of the cameras, that they're sure, going so thin? If they went thicker, they actually could probably get better pictures.
Yeah, Bill says that the OLED display will allow for a thinner phone because it does not, yeah, it does away with the need for backlighting. But, you know, like Dave said, if you make it thinner, then you're having to make the sensors and the lenses thinner also. Because right now, I mean, our cameras sticks out the back of the 7. Mine does. The lens, it sticks out. So, because if they were to make it the same width, you know, it wouldn't stick out. Now, that's kind of obvious, but but yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe with the thinner screen, they can introduce, say, more battery. And not make the phone thinner, because to be honest, it's thin. I don't think I want a thinner phone than that. You're just asking for problems. But more battery? Sure, I'll take more battery. You know, possibly even more cameras. Yeah, I'll take more cameras. Yeah, so all right. Any other thoughts on the cameras?
No,
okay. No, not really.
Bill in the chat said that Mark's going to like the enhanced features of Siri. that I would like to see. And, you know, Mark will be on the show probably next week or something like that. But he was going to try to come on today, but it didn't make it. But we'll have to ask him about the new the rumors about Siri. Yeah. So, all right. I think we're possibly done with rumors. We'll have to keep an eye out and kind of make sure that, you know, we catch the little things that may happen. But like I said earlier, I'm typically skeptical. I want to see, you know, I want to see it before I believe it. But with the way things have been going, they've been pretty spot on in most of the rumors. So I think it's something to say, yeah, I'll believe until I see it, but I have a good sense that this is probably going to happen. All right, well, let's go ahead and let's move to our post pick of the week. All right, this week it is my turn to pick, but since Dave's here, I asked him to pick our post pick of the week. So, Dave, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Yeah, there was when you said, "Oh, you do you want to give it a try?" And all of a sudden, I'm going through all the photos in the Instagram feed that has the hashtag Tiny Shutter. It's like, okay, yeah, these are all great.
Now you know what we go through.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like, well, it's not like, wow, that's amazing and everything. I was like, wow, that's great. I wonder how they did that. That's an amazing shot. And a couple we talked about beforehand, one was from Christopher X38.
Yep.
It's a photo of a leaf with a few water droplets falling off. And the one thing that kind of, first of all, just I love the look of it here. But also, if you look into the water droplets itself, how they act like lenses. And you can see other leaves inside of those. And that's just an amazing shot.
Yeah.
It kind of just grabs you. It almost looks, I hate to say it almost looks fake, but it looks, the actual crispness of the actual inside the water droplets looks like something, you know, years ago would have been, oh, that has to be shopped in there. It has to be, you know, that has to be fake. There's no way, especially a camera, a phone could pick up that kind of detail from that kind of distance. So, yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Matt, can you see that image?
I can, yes.
Okay. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, my first thought is, wow, 3 weeks in a row, we have a macro image.
I know. That's true.
But no, it's cool. I like these kind of shots with the water drops where you could kind of see, you know, like in the drop itself, you see what's behind the drop, you know, in sharp focus. But around the drop, you know, everything is kind of blurred out because of the shallow depth of field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty cool. I like these type of pictures.
Yeah, I like the colors. Green is a favorite color of mine that I tend to like to look at, especially because it means there's life out there. You know, there's, you know, I grew up in California where it was green during the winter, and then everything died off during the summertime. Then I moved to the South where everything's dead during the winter and everything's green. I'm having to fight it back during the summertime. But yeah, I like it, especially the water droplets and getting the view from behind it barely, you know, kind of leaves it up to your imagination of what's behind it, you know, as you're looking through the water droplets. So very cool. Any other thoughts on the image? I'll take that as a no.
No, just congrats to Christopher.
Yeah, congratulations, Christopher. You are our post pick of the week. Each week we go through either our weekly photo challenge or our Instagram feed and look for an image that can be used as our album art, our photo cover, and I guess way to say, hey, look what our listeners are doing. And we go through and pick one and choose it as our post pick of the week and have a lot of fun and sometimes are a little jealous. But congratulations, Christopher. It's an awesome image. If you want to be featured as post pick of the week, go on to Instagram and use the hashtag Tiny Shutter. And then if you're on Facebook, you can join us in our weekly photo challenge so that every other week we choose from there. We give people 2 weeks in a row to be able to join the challenge. And then every other week we choose the image from one image from that challenge and other challenges along the way to be able to pick and have a lot of fun and and see some awesome images in there. So if you haven't joined us on Facebook, please, by all means, look for the Tiny Shutter and iPhonography group and join us there. All right. So next week, we're going to finish off our weekly photo challenge, which is color temperature. And Matt, do you want to kind of talk about that real quick? Because I think we had some people that were a little confused on the challenge.
I haven't thought of a real good way to explain it yet. So I'll give that some thought and I'll just update the Facebook post.
Okay. That'll work. All right. Well, is there anything else that you guys want to bring up?
No, not particularly tonight. No.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, Dave, thanks for hanging out with us. We thought Matt wasn't going to be able to make it. And so I said, hey, Dave, do you want to come on the show? And, you know, Dave's a good technical guy. So I thought, let's look at these rumors and go over it. So thanks for joining us, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun.
Good. All right. Well, let me play this real quick.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right, Dave, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure. Pretty much Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube with the username ProfPod, ProfPod.
All right.
And of course, in the Facebook and normally in chat.
Awesome. Very good. Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right. You can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Very cool. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show, links to our Facebook, YouTube channel, and show notes by going to tinyshutter.com. And like I said, join us on Facebook where we have a lot of amazing posts that are being posted in there and a lot of good discussions. Join the group and you'll learn a lot, and who knows, you know, you may be holding back on us and have some amazing photography that nobody's seen and is just waiting to be seen. All right. Oh, and one other thing. Mark wanted me to bring up something. Mark is going to be starting a podcast. It's not photography related, but it has to do with, I want to say it was Disney princess movies, something like that. Mark is going to be doing a podcast with Maud Byrne, and they're going to use the Tiny Shutter feed. So if you join us live, you can listen to our show live, but then also another day during the week, our show channel will actually pop up and say, hey, we're live. And it'll actually be Mark and Maud. So you can join them too and listen in on all the shenanigans they're going to be talking about. But just want to give people the heads up on that. And if you do want to listen to us live, by all means, every Thursday night, starting around 9:30, we tend to go live and do a live show so you guys can listen in. We chat with people in the chat before and after. You can give us some good feedback during the show, or just try to make us laugh. But most of the time, we get a lot of good feedback from you guys. And Dave's in there all the time, and he's usually the first one in there. So, if nobody shows up, at least Dave will be there. But it's awesome. Well, cool. All right, you guys. Well, good show. Thanks for joining us, Dave, again.
Oh, welcome. Thanks so much.
All right. All right. Let me get this ready. And Matt, why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everybody?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.